Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Oh my goodness, will you stand up on your feet with me one more time tonight? Grab your Bibles or your phone, whichever one you have with you. How many of you guys are glad to have a little water pressure today? Anybody happy? All right. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, we're just going to stand for the reading of the word. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. How many of you like it when Jesus says that? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Look at your neighbor, and while you're sitting down, just tell him he is the Son of God. Go ahead and have a good, comfy seat tonight. I am glad to be at River City Church, Owensboro, Kentucky, this evening. And I want to encourage you tonight. It's a very simple message with a very simple scripture that you've probably heard the story 1,000 times. Jesus walking on the water. The chapter in verse 22, it starts out this story. Says that Jesus had sent all of the crowds away, and then he made the disciples get in the boat and go away from him. That's an interesting way to say that. He made the disciples. You know, disciples are people who have the dust of their rabbi on them. Do you know that? In the ancient Near East, if you were called to be a disciple, then you would come and you would spend your entire life, day and night, with one rabbi, learning his teachings. The Bible talks about God's yoke being easy and his burden being light. Well, that comes from that culture where the yoke of that rabbi is light. You see, it's their teaching. That yoke is their actual teaching. So you might follow one rabbi that was very harsh and heavy, and you may be with another rabbi, and it may be light and a lighter weight of teaching to follow. The Bible says that God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know God is not looking to crush you with the weight of his teaching? He's looking to lift you with the weight of that teaching, that you can live under it, that you can function in it. God is looking to give you his instruction. And we as disciples of Christ are called to have the dust of Jesus on us. That means when he's walking in front of us on the dirt road, we're so close that his dust is getting kicked up and it's getting on us. How many of you want to be that close to your Savior? You want to be that close to the teaching? See, you're Wednesday night people. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm a Wednesday night person. That means that you're the cool kids right there. You just go ahead and know it. You are, I mean, you're in it to win it. You're coming on Sunday. You're coming back on Wednesday. Across our culture, all over the nation, people are doing away with discipleship because it's just easier if we don't disciple people, to be honest. Discipleship is hard work for the discipler and the disciplee. There is no getting around it. Discipleship takes effort. It takes work. It takes planning. It takes training. It is something. And Jesus was feeling the effects of this. And at this point in his ministry, he was feeling the effects of the crowd all all around him consistently 24 hours a day. He was feeling the pressure of needing to lead these disciples that were with him day in and day out. It says that he made his disciples leave and go on the boat. And they probably were thinking, Jesus, how are you going to get back to us? Because we're leaving you here in this spot with no boat, and we're going to get on the boat that we all came in, and we're going to go across a body of water that you're not in. So what are we going to do to get you back? He said, please leave me alone. How many of you ever wanted to be left alone before? You just knew that you needed to be left alone. You needed a source that was not present to come and fill you up. Maybe you just need a little peace and quiet. Maybe you just need a little time. But most of the time, how many of you know, when we pull away from people, it gives God a chance to talk to us. And Jesus was hungry for some fellowship with his Father. He was in need of prayer, and he knew it. So he sent these guys away. And he told him to go on the boat. Then he sent the crowds away. And he told him he didn't have anything else for him right then. It's not the end of the world for leaders to go away for a minute and get a break, because they come back stronger. Hopefully, they come back and they've heard from God whenever they return. And so he's standing there and he's praying and he gets done. He finishes. He's had his time. And so what does Jesus do? Because he's Jesus and he's awesome, he doesn't call for a boat. He just decides to walk out and meet them where they are on the water. Wouldn't it just be the coolest thing? Wouldn't you just love it if you could just take off across the water and do whatever you needed to do? Jesus was God in the flesh. And so he just takes off across that water. No big deal to him. It's just something else that he rules and reigns over, that he's going to command to hold him up for a while. And so it goes against everything that their mind thought. But he takes off across the water, and there's a storm. Like the pirate would say, there's a storm a brewing. Have you ever heard him say that on the pirate shows? There's a storm coming, and disciples are being tossed, and there's things going on, and they're not feeling very safe. And all of a sudden, they see Jesus headed across that water. How many of you think that might freak you out just a little bit? I don't want to be on the water, period, much less at night. Here they are in the dark. There's a storm. And Jesus is coming at them, and they can see a figure, and they call out and say, there's a ghost. There's a ghost. Jesus is like, settle down, folks. It's just me. I walk on water too, right? So he was coming, and Peter looks at him and says, if this is you, then I want you to let me command me to come out to you. So tonight I want to talk to you about walking by faith. I think sometimes people say they're faith people, but how many of you have ever thought of yourself as a faith person, but you didn't really like the walk of faith? The walk of faith is not nearly as comforting as calling yourself a person of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but walking that faith out is a different story. And a lot of times we find ourselves in life in spots that we never dreamed that we would be. And it's one thing to call yourself a person of faith when you're sitting and everything's going right and nobody's sick and you have plenty of money and you have a job and you've got people that love you all around you and nobody's angry with you. It's easy to call yourself. Has anyone ever actually found themselves in all of those things at the same time? Because I haven't yet. But there is a spot in this thing we call our walk with God where we have to actually get in the game. We have to have some skin in the game. We can't just call ourselves a person of faith. We have to actually walk that faith out. Now, I have a personal walk. This, what I'm doing tonight, I'm gifted and called by God to do, and there's a grace on me to do. But when I walk out the door, I'm not graced necessarily I shouldn't say I'm not graced, because everyone has a grace for the race that they're in. What I'm trying to say is there's not a special gifting on me to go out and be a mom. There's not a special flow that comes on me, an anointing that helps me do things whenever I got to wash the dishes, or whenever I have to be nice to Brian because we're married, or any of those things. Everybody's got to walk out their own walk in life with God, their own daily life with God. There's not a special thing that comes on you for all of that. It's just a walk of faith. It's just deciding that we either believe the word of the Lord and we're going to follow it, or we don't believe the word of the Lord and we're just going to step back and leave it alone. And so I think it's confusing to people because they think, well, if I'm a faith person, nothing will happen. And nothing could be further from the truth. If you're a faith person, there are going to be tests and trials and things that go on. And we have to know as the people of God how we are going to walk out the next steps that God calls us to. I see a process. See, I have a personal walk of faith, but then also as a pastor, I have the privilege of walking beside people in their walks of faith. And when tragedy hits, I promise you, I'm on their speed dial. They want to talk to someone that they think might know what to do next. And since we get to see hundreds of people walk through things, we have the privilege of turning and saying, hey, I saw someone do this once and they did it right. Let's follow that pattern. Let's do that. Hey, I found something in the Word of God that works for this very situation. Let's take hold of that scripture and we're going to walk out the next few months as you seek God in this area of your life, because everybody needs someone to walk with them, right? People here that are going through things, they call their team leader, they call their department head, they call a staff member, they call a friend that they sit by on Wednesday nights in church. What am I saying? People don't call anymore. You just Facebook message them. I'm sorry. But you Facebook message these people in your life and you say, hey, I need you to help me. Hey, I need prayer. Hey, do you have any advice? Everyone starts calling for people. And I just want to encourage you that the process is almost always the same, no matter what the problem is. If I were you, I might write some of these points down because I'm just going to show you the process that happens right here in this scripture when Peter is talking to Jesus, and it also takes place in our life every single time that it comes up. Now, no matter what the problem is, a sickness, a family death, something going on in your life, financial struggle, marriage problems, it seems to always happen in a certain order. It goes a little bit like this. You're close to Jesus. You're feeling good. Everything seems to be going great, and you're being strengthened by what your rabbi is putting into your life and into your heart. And the next thing you know, you feel like you are told to go away. Maybe you just feel far away. Maybe you just feel like Jesus wandered off the path and you're still on it. Or maybe you wandered off the path and Jesus is still right where he was. Sometimes we walk away. Sometimes we feel like we were sent away. Something happens in your life and it makes you feel like Jesus isn't present in your situation. How many of you have ever felt like Jesus wasn't right there with you? Doesn't mean that he wasn't. It just means that that was what your feelings told you. It's just part of the process of learning to walk by faith, because how many of you know God is ever present? He is omniscient, omnipotent. He is everything that we need in every situation. And yet, as human beings, we have these things called feelings. See, it doesn't matter how we feel. It only matters what the Word of God says. At the end of the day, when God says that he is ever present, that he never leaves you, that he never forsakes you, he actually means that he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. He can see you. You're in his mind. You are on his mind. You are in his thoughts. He has you in his sights. God keeps track of his kids, but sometimes it feels like we're far away. An opportunity to practice our faith arrives. Have you ever thought about calling it that? An opportunity to practice our faith. It's not exactly what it feels like. It feels like the whole world is crashing down. Everything that I want is not happening right now. Everything that I thought was going to come to pass isn't coming to pass right now. Everything that I thought was right is wrong right now. It's an opportunity to practice our faith that arises in our life that gives us the opportunity to not just call ourselves people of faith, but actually decide to walk in that faith. See, it's the scary things. It's the unknown. It's the thing that wasn't planned for that God takes and uses but he uses it in our life. In those instances, we have an opportunity to decide What are we going to do? See, Peter and all of the others were scared, and they had an opportunity to use their faith, to believe what they said they believed. And whenever Jesus said, "It is me," he said what was next. He said, "Command me if it's truly you, and I will come to you." And I would say that that's the next point in the faith walk, is that you ask God to tell you clearly. See, if you ever have God ask you for something, or something happens in your life that God is turning for good in your situation, you'll know it, because your next question will be, "God, can you please let me know that everything's going to be okay? Will you make this clear to me? Will, if this is the path you want me to take, God, will you please say, yes, this is the path that I want you to take?" How many of you ever found yourself at a crossroads and the first thing you did was say, "God, are you trying to tell me something? Would you please make it clear to me? I'm going to need a three-step, I'm going to need the three-pronged yes, God. Could you give me a sign from heaven? I want, my dog next door and the one three doors down to howl in unison to the Christmas song that's my favorite. I mean, something, God, just to show me that you can still see me, that you're in it." Anything that is a faith opportunity is going to require of you something that draws out of you, "God, command me clearly." If you're a person of faith. You see, it's good to know that it's Jesus in the water when the storm comes. It's really good. "Jesus, can you tell me it's you? And if it's you, really, because I know you already said it's you and that you're going to take care of me, but if it's really you, could you command me to get out on that water with you?" Any time that there's a faith opportunity, you're going to have that moment where you call out to God. And guess what? God's going to tell you to come on. See, what we want is for God to be like a mama and be like, "It's okay, honey, you're fine. You just stay right there in the boat, baby. It's going to be great. I'll take care of it all." But that's why God gives fathers to households, because they say, "Hey, shake it off. Get on up. Come on. You can do it. You're tougher than this. Let's go. Come on. Come out on the water with me." You need somebody. You need a father. And our Heavenly Father is not looking. He loves you. He is compassionate. He is feeling everything that you feel, knowing everything that you know. And he was touched with the feelings of your infirmity when he was here on the earth. He knows what it is to be human. And he's still standing in the water saying, "Hey, you, get out of here. You can do this. You've got what it takes." See, Jesus stopped and he commanded him. Peter didn't stop with the command. Peter went out. Now, Peter was still afraid. You know, you can do it afraid. If you're not just a little bit freaked out sometimes, I'm telling you, you're not in faith territory yet. Because God is asking you for something. It doesn't mean that you're paralyzed in fear. Sometimes fear tries to paralyze us. That's a unnatural fear that is not from God. How many of you know, just being a human, there are things that are a little bit foreign to us that make our body want to back up? I'll never forget the first time that I went to Thailand. And there was a toilet. And beside it, a bucket and a ladle. And everyone that went into this restroom would reach inside this bucket with this ladle, and they would scoop out the water to put it in the commode. I wanted to use that tactic this week. They told me it wouldn't work in pressurized commodes. I didn't know that that wasn't a thing that you could do. So I'm looking, and they take this ladle, and they take this bucket, and they pour the water into that toilet. The first thing that my body wanted to do when I saw the process was scream and run the other direction. A little germophobic. I didn't know what I was going to do with all that. I'm like, "Do we have plastic gloves?" "No, we do not." What do we have here? I'm trying the process. And I had a friend with me, and she was saying, "Jesse, you can do this." And my whole body was saying, "No." I mean, I was trained from the time I was a baby to be a missionary. My mom and dad taught us to eat what was set before us, to enjoy it, to love cultures and foods and different things. They never let us be babies about different things. And yet, I could not make my physical hand reach in that bucket. ladle that water out. Now, maybe you could have, but something else would have gotten you. It was everything in me to take it. And I stood there so long that my friend finally grabbed the ladle for me and threw it in the... She said, "You are ridiculous." Sometimes your body just wants to shrink back from the thing that you're called to, the thing, that faith walk you're about to walk into. And listen, you got to push yourself sometimes beyond what's natural for you, beyond what's comfortable for you, beyond what, because it's really not about our comfort. Comfort doesn't get things done, but faith does. When we choose to step out on that water after the command, oh man, you may still feel a fear or a resistance to what's about to happen. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is in it. The next one is that you trust. You see, when you push past that fear and you walk in like Peter did, he decided to step out of the boat. Can you even begin to imagine that first step for Peter? Just try to put yourself, use all the empathy that you can muster up right now, and just imagine Peter. He's thinking, "This is such a stupid idea. I do not know why I am doing what I am doing. There is no purpose in me even walking on the water. I just want to know that if it's Jesus and he tells me to, that I can do it, that he's with me." And everybody around him is saying, "What are you doing? That could be anybody. That's a ghost. What are you doing right now?" He told me he was Jesus and he commanded me, and I'm going to just take that first step. It's always the first one that's really, really hard. Just trying to wrap your brain around what it is that God is telling you. And yet, the command of God is always so big that the brain can't be wrapped around it. God does not give commands that are able to be comprehended by human minds. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Every single thing that you need, God has it. He's not going to show it to you. If you're going to wait till God shows you every piece of the puzzle, you will be stationary for life, because it's not how God does things. I promise you, God doesn't do things like that. I remember when we moved to Owensboro to start this church, and I wanted so bad to be able to tell my mother and father that we had a plan, but we did not have a plan. I wanted so bad to be able to tell my friends that everything was in order, but it wasn't in order. It made no sense in the natural, and yet it was everything that God had called us to do. May not seem that scary to you because you went to work today and you're getting a paycheck on payday. But when you come out of a place where you have no idea how that's going to function, and yet you know God's asking you to do it, some of you are like, "I'm in that kind of spot right now. You're talking directly to me. I have no idea what's next." Listen, I love wisdom and I love plans. I'm a plan girl. When we go on vacation, I have a plan for vacation. I know exactly what's going to happen. I know what restaurants will be eaten at. I know what hotels will be stayed in. We have these friends and they like to just get in the car and wander down to wherever they feel like stopping and then find a hotel. There's nothing that sounds more miserable to me than wandering down somewhere where you have no idea where you're going to stop or where you're going to stay. I can't even fathom that being fun. I remember as a child, my father was a preacher, and we would go and we would travel to different cities and preach. And I can remember spending, this is before the days of Google, I can remember spending hours. How many of you remember going to a different town and your parents just driving from hotel to hotel to see what the best deal was? People just wandered around according to a paper map, and they asked people where they were going to stay, and they got prices, and they wandered around town for a few hours, and then they figured it out. That makes me want to break out into hives. So if you can even begin to imagine that me and Brian were just going to move to a city where we didn't know people, and we were going to plant a church with no money, with only a Bible, and we didn't exactly know how we were going to do any of it, and we couldn't find a book to tell us what the process was, then you can kind of feel the anxiousness on the inside of what I was feeling. And yet, all it took was one step to know, man, this is kind of great. This is going to be fun. And we were just young enough and stupid enough to think that it was amazing. So I'm telling you right now that God may be calling you at a multitude of ages to a new season, a new place, a new thing. You may have just gotten blindsided by something that you never saw coming. And I am telling you that the water will stay under your feet as long as Jesus is in it, as long as he's with you. So you trust. But what happens right after you trust? You stumble. Almost always in the process of faith, you step out and you think Jesus is here, and then something happens that just gets you a little wobbly. Peter didn't go completely under. He didn't drown. He just started to sink a little bit, and he called out. He said, God help me. He was freaking out because he's thinking, this was so dumb. Why did I do this? I just jumped out of that boat and into this water, knowing very well that water does not hold human beings. He was well acquainted with water and with his own weight and with gravity. And he starts to sink and he calls out. You see, right after that first step, there's usually an opportunity for you to back out. Don't back out. Don't back out. God has a plan for you, and it is a plan to trust. It's a plan where he's going to be with you. Right after you stumble, Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. What are you doing, Peter? I'm right here. You really think I'm going to let you drown? Is what he's saying to him. Really? We have lived and eaten the same food together for all of these years, and you actually thought that I was going to let you go under. And he lifts him. See, it's human to feel the sink and begin to panic, but God overtakes our human and he lifts us. He grabs our hand if we'll let him. Listen to me. Some of you right now, this week, you felt like you were just going under and you started to panic and you really believe that you are doing what God's asked you to do. You genuinely choose to believe and are faithing it out that God is with you in the midst of your storm. And yet you started to feel a little bit of sink and immediately you panicked and you have gotten so down on yourself and so discouraged. And I just want you to know today, Jesus is going to correct you, but he's also going to lift you. He doesn't just leave you there to drown. He didn't say, oh, you have little faith and let Peter go under. Well, that's the end of Peter's story. Let's document it in the word. No, God went, hey, man, you're not using the faith that you have. You're not doing what you're called to do. There's more in you than this. And then he takes his hand and he lifts him up out of the water. It's what God does. At that point in the process, Peter learned one thing. It was that he could trust Jesus more than he thought he could. When he was going under and Jesus lifted him, it built his trust. God's going to take you through a process and he's going to build your trust in him so that the next time that he asks you to walk out on the water, it's not going to be as hard as it was the first time. And the longer that you walk with God, the more anxious you're going to get to run out on the water. When you see someone that's doing something that they genuinely believe, or they just got blindsided by a storm that they never saw coming, and you begin to see them jump at the opportunity to faith it out again, you look at them and you say, you are a lunatic. What is going on with you? But God has won for them so many times. They have had so many wins in God. You have to know that people, you look at them and you say, do you have nerves of steel? What's going on with you? Why do you not get nervous when things like this happen? Why does it not get you all frazzled when life happens? It's because they've seen God win. And their trust is built. And then it builds their trust again. And it builds their trust again. And it builds their trust again. And their faith in God becomes stable. It becomes something that's not shaken by the wind. They're not a reed that is easily blown to and fro. But they're stable in God. And they look and say, it's not that they never have a moment where they think, ooh, I wonder if this water's going to stay. It's that they jump at the opportunity to try again. When you start looking at your friends in the faith and you go, why are they jumping at opportunities of faith? It's because they have learned that God will come through and that on the other side of the faith walk is the blessing life. And it's a good place to live. I'm telling you, it's a good place to live. When you learn to trust more, then Jesus comes closer to you, or you come closer to Jesus. I'm not sure which one. Needless to say, you are closer to your Heavenly Father, closer to Jesus Himself, and things began to take place in you that hadn't been taking place before that moment. See, Jesus hops in the boat with all of them, and immediately, it says in the story, the storm ceases. He got in that boat, and then he said, okay, that's enough. We've had enough of you tonight. Because the wind and the waves, they obey him. His voice speaks to them, and he calls out, and he stops them when it's in his time, when it's his way, when he has his will and his way. That's why we are always praying, Lord, let your will be done right here on this piece of earth as it is in heaven. We shouldn't just pray for God's will to be done around the earth. You know, it's like the beauty pageant queen that gets up and asks for God, for global peace. It's like you might not even have peace in your own bedroom, in your own heart, and you're asking for global peace. Christians do the same thing. We're always asking for God's will to be done on the earth, but we never just start right here. God, let your will be done in me, this piece of earth. You made me out of earth. Today, I ask you to let your will be done on this piece of earth as it is in heaven. And then begin to just pray circles around yourself. I pray that this piece of earth right here would, Lord, that your will would be done right here on this stage as it is in heaven. I begin to pray over this sanctuary. Lord, I pray over the people that'll fill these seats, that your will would be done in their life as it is in heaven. I pray over my house. God, let your will be done in my kids as it is in heaven. God, I ask that your will would be done in my marriage, even if it takes correcting my attitude today, as it is in heaven. God, I'm asking you that your will would be done in Philpott as it is in heaven. I'm asking you today, God, that your will would be done in Owensboro, in Davis County. God, we pray that your will would be done in the state of Kentucky as it is in heaven, because you know that by you sheerly dwelling in a place and being a person of faith, that God has given you dominion to believe for the people around you, to believe God for things in your life, in your house, in your church, in your city, in your county, in your state. God has given us a purpose, a plan. And he's wanting to know if his people of faith will continue to walk out the walk of faith, even if it means that they got to jump out of the boat and do something that looks a little silly, a little crazy, a little out of line at the time. Will you believe? People look at you and say, what in the world are you thinking? How are you going to do that? You, as long as you've had a word from the Lord, can just rest assured, Jesus is going to lift me up. He is going to put my foot on this water, and it's going to feel like a solid rock, because he is the God that does what he says that he will do. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand up on your feet tonight. People all over this room tonight, you're fighting fights. Fights of faith. Walking something out. You see, it's not just a one-day walk. It's not just a little walk around the block. It's sometimes the walk of faith is months and months and months of walking out the faith walk with God and believing that he will do what he says that he will do. And at the end of it, your trust is built, your faith is built, and you understand God and are closer to him in a deeper, in a better way than you were before. Sometimes you don't understand all the details, but God is more than enough. Tonight, if that's you, you say, Jesse, I'm in one of those seasons, storm, walk of faith, thing God's asking me to do, command of God, and I just need to understand that there is a process and that I am holding God's hand and I'm going to walk my faith out, not just be a person of faith. This word was for me. I just want you to pray for me. If that's you, will you do me a favor and just come to the altar tonight? It's a Wednesday night crowd. I'd love to pray with you. We're going to just pray for people tonight that are believing God for some of those things. Don't be embarrassed. You can come on up. There's going to be people pray with you, people stand with you. Some of our leaders, staff, department heads, anybody that that works in those kinds of deals, I want you to come behind them. I want you to lay your hand on their shoulder, and I just want you to begin to believe God with them tonight. You don't have to ask them what they're believing God for. We're just going to stand in faith and prayer. God knows exactly what it is. So we're just going to stand with you tonight. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would help, that you would lift. God, that you would encourage, that you would build, that you would strengthen, that you would cause more trust to come into their world and into their life right now. Father, I pray over these people in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that they wouldn't just be a person of faith, but that they would be the people of God that walk the walk of faith, Father. Right now, we ask you, God, to move on their behalf. We ask you, Lord, to calm the storm, to solidify the water under their feet, to give them the courage of God. I pray for the courage of God to come into them. The courage of God to come into them. Father, I pray that you would bring correction where correction is needed, that you would bring grace where grace is needed, that you would bring help from heaven where it's needed. Father, that the angels of the Lord would surround them like a shield. Father, today I pray that your best would be had. And that, Father, they wouldn't stop. They wouldn't fall short. They wouldn't drown. But, Father, that you would lift them, help them, strengthen them, comfort them. We believe it as the people of God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, come now and have your will and have your way right here. Right here at River City Church as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen.